Everybody, and welcome to Geek Actually, episode 85 for the 22nd of May, 2010. I am your host, David McVeigh, and I am joined in studio by the returning Dave Kaziki. How are you?
I know, this is just
an audio show.
Oh, okay, I was about to say, it's thrilling for the audio listeners.
I'm back. I'm back, bitches. I thought you'd be happy with moments of silence. So different from what I usually do.
How you been, Dave? It's been about 3 weeks since we've seen you last.
I have been good. I think since the last show, I was overseas in Paris doing some gaming stuff. And I'm back writing frantically and frenetically and phonetically. I've been doing all of that.
He's been wordsmithing lately, can't you?
I have. I actually want to put on my card that I am a word ninja. I have been throwing thesauruses around like shuriken. I've been good. When I'm not working or doing the other podcast on this network, which is Platforms, 8 o'clock on Monday nights.
Boy, you got the plug in early. We usually do it at the end.
Boom! When I'm not doing that, I have ignored common convention of playing Red Dead Redemption, and I'm playing Battlefield Bad Company 2.
Fair enough. I've actually been playing that too, but I haven't played much in the last few days because I've been geeking out to 80s movies. But before we go into that, let's introduce everybody else around the table. Everybody knows Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh?
Hi, I'm good.
Yeah,
unlike Dave, I've been red-deading the shit out of yesterday.
Sorry, we've got a shared microphone, so you're going to have to talk into the microphone a little bit.
Seriously, far away from it. It really makes that much of a difference. Anyway, so I've been red-deading the shit out of yesterday, did most of that, and have been frantically keeping the site up to date, even though apparently my grammar and everything else needs work.
Yeah, so is mine, and I've managed to maintain the site for 2 years, so go figure.
That was a left swing for Dave.
But see, this is the beauty of blogging, is the fact that it's like stream of consciousness. And sometimes it's misspelled.
No,
and there's no talent required.
Yeah, no talent at all.
And on that note, we are also joined by the very loud Shane Gregory. How are you, Shane?
Very well, thank you.
Jesus, Shane, let somebody else get a word in. That's never going to get old for me.
No, just to explain.
It never does, because it's always...
Just to explain to anybody who's a new listener, Shane was a co-host on the Geek Actually Tech Show when we were running that, and Shane is a man of few words, but when he speaks, you have to stop and listen.
I like to think of Shane as a word sniper.
Hey, there you go.
He just lines you up. He's like, hey, Shane, what's going on? How you doing?
So we're gonna be pausing during this show as we reach news points specifically to get Shane's opinion on stuff. And I tell you what, it shows you how the humidity. My glasses are fogging up here. What's going on? All right, so
I think that might be the latent hotness that I bring to the studio.
Is that right?
That's right.
I'll have to wear my glasses like a grandfather and wear them down my nose a little bit. Okay, here we go. All right, so for all this nonsense and for Dave doing his little introduction, for those who don't know, we do go out live every Saturday at 12 p.m. ish. Today we're starting half an hour late. We are here at 12, but we don't always start the show straight away because it's whatever's going on, or whoever's having breakfast, as the case might be.
What are you talking about? In true tradition.
Thank you.
Brutal.
All right, so we got that's Australian Eastern Standard Time, UTC plus 10. And what this show is basically your weekend geek. Every week we get together and we just kind of talk about tech and film and whatever else comes to mind, really. And in this week's tech news, we're going to talk about how Steve Jobs goes toe-to-toe with Gawker Media. Now, if you don't know who Gawker Media is, it's the parent company that owns Gizmodo. Now, as we all know, Gizmodo were the people who had the iPhone and bought it for $5,000 and all, and they're kind of the, I don't know how to explain Gizmodo without being slanderous, but they are kind of checkbook journalism and, you know, anyway. The point is that, we will come back to this story, but the point is that one night, very late, and while he was drunk, the head of Gawker Media wrote Steve Jobs an email, which, to his surprise, Steve Jobs wrote back straight away, and they got into an email exchange that was quite interesting. We will come back to that a little bit later on.
With bated breath on that.
Yeah. And we are also one close one step closer, and I'll put in the show notes to Skynet, but it's not really Skynet, it's more like Frankenstein. It's we're one step closer to creating life. All right, but we'll come back to that a little bit later on as well. In entertainment, Shia LaBeouf apologizes again. The man has made a career now out of apologizing for all of his past films. And the Wachowskis are shopping a new film around. But it's not probably not what you expect.
I think it's exactly what you expect if you know anything about the Wachowskis.
It's not The Matrix. Let me put it that way, too. Later, we're going to take a look at the new comic book adaptation, The Losers, which is actually, Dave said to me a few months ago, he said, there are a couple shows that I have to be on. And one of them was The Losers. So he's here.
On the long list of ones that Beardy ignored and decided that I would not be on the show.
Well, it's not a matter of ignoring.
I'm just playing.
We've got lots of guests to rotate through nowadays. All right. So without further ado, let's move on and jump into some tech news here. And the first thing I'm going to say is, and I think Josh has actually got a few words on this one.
Oh, right, yep.
But basically, Foxtel is coming to Xbox Live.
Yeah.
Can anybody explain this a little bit? I just, from business model practice, I don't understand.
All right. Well, look, this week has been kind of a media fling between the two companies, with PlayStation recently announcing that they're going to drop Australia what every other country has had for about 6 months, which is the movie side of the thing. So they're catching up with Xbox and will now be offering pretty much the same service. You can either buy the movies outright for about $8 or rent them for about $3 to $4.
Right.
And then basically you have a period of time to watch them, and then they're removed from your drive. So this is now becoming available on the PlayStation
Network. So it's not actually Foxtel as such, though.
No. This is what PlayStation's
done.
Oh,
right. What PlayStation's done. Okay.
So PlayStation's done that, and in kind of like almost a frenzy, Xbox has almost immediately jumped out like the same day and gone, yeah, well, we've got something new too, and have thrown out that they're going to be doing a collaboration between them and Foxtel to release some sort of online version of their Foxtel services. There will be no cabling involved. There will be no extra things. It seems to be an all internet streaming kind of
situation.
And
yeah, I look at this and I also go, the one thing that people would probably want most from it, not me, but the vast majority, it actually says that Foxtel CEO Kim Williams said that NRL and AFL games wouldn't be part of the package to start with.
Yeah, that really, really kind of freaks me out, because that would be one of the things I would have expected.
Me too. I would have thought sports would have been the big one to put on there straight away. It says here that they're going to offer some content. They're going to get access to content from about 30 channels, such as Fox Sports, Discovery, Nickelodeon,
Disney. The
two
things that annoy me about this whole thing is, number one, they've got it there in the wording. Access to certain parts, not the whole thing. So you're not going to have the exact version of...
The other thing the article didn't make clear is it says you have to have an Xbox Live account, obviously, and a paid account.
It has to be a gold account.
But it doesn't actually... Do you also have to have a Foxtel subscription?
Oh, of course you will.
There's going to be a separate thing that you will purchase.
So this is like Foxtel Mobile.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like Foxtel Mobile. Okay.
Yeah. And it sounds like shit, and all I could honestly say...
Tell us how you really think.
Don't hold back there.
All I'm going to say is the genius concept of all of these is that they never partner up with a provider that offers free downloads for, say, Xbox or for PSN. So, you know...
actually, funny you say that. They have actually come out, but this is more recent, so you may not have actually read this, Dave, because it's only just
been
announced.
That was for our audio viewers.
Yeah. The finger, we got it. They have actually come out and said that they are doing deals with two of the major ISPs in Australia to offer unmetered downloads for them.
I have a good deal. It's called piracy. And you keep the films forever, and it costs you nothing.
We at Geek actually do not condone piracy. No, but I've got a question for you, though. iiNet, for instance, offers unmetered traffic on Xbox Live.
Which is wonderful. Yeah.
Except the Zune movies.
Yeah. Are they the one thing that you want.
That's right. And are they going to now say, and accept Foxtel?
Oh, for sure.
Well, maybe not, though, because maybe they might be one of the companies that is going to offer unmetered on it. But
it's just kind of weird that you'd think that, you know, especially how, I'm not saying it's ridiculously affordable, but Foxtel's basic package isn't that outrageous.
Oh, I can tell you exactly what it is, because we've actually got it. It's, $42.95 plus the IQ.
So you'll probably pay something in that vicinity anyway for it across this, so why the fuck would you bother?
And as Cyrus points out in our chat room, she already has Foxtel. Why does she need it on her Xbox? Yeah. You know, it's like, I don't know.
I'm looking forward to like Fox-inspired avatars for your Xbox 360 character. I think that's going to be fantastic. And you know, you could
just t-shirts with just one fox.
You know what I'm looking forward to is maybe in true Fox tradition, you can go through all of it and cancel whatever shows that you feel like willy-nilly, regardless of how well they're rating. You just pick whatever you want. No, I don't like that anymore. It's gone. Let's keep 50 reality shows about Denise Richards.
I think it's such a flawed failure, because if you look at the TV channels they've actually said are definitely coming out, Nickelodeon. You've got
Discovery, Fox Sports, Disney, MTV.
MTV. Exactly. But they say up to 30 channels, so these are only the key players.
But they haven't put in like Fox 8, which is probably one of the biggest ones, Arena, Showtime.
There will be no Showtime. I can guarantee
you. No, there won't be any of the premium content on there.
More importantly, they're definitely not doing that, because if they do, then Zune would become ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't understand why they're doing this after just initializing the Zune content. I don't know. It seems to me so silly. It seems to me like we're doubling up here.
It seems to me that they're just trying to give PlayStation a finger.
And now I'd like to question some of the wording on this news.com.au article, which actually says it'll be available through all internet service providers. Existing Foxtel customers won't have to pay for the service. Does that mean non-existing Foxtel customers are going to have to pay extra?
Absolutely.
You know, it says you will have to have a gold Xbox Live service, which is about $8 a month. But it says existing Foxtel customers won't have to pay. So if you're not a Foxtel customer, so let's say Josh, who's not a Foxtel, you're going to pay your $8 for your gold, which you already pay, but then you're going to have to pay a premium subscription on top of that for the Foxtel content.
Yeah, if you want Foxtel. I don't. No. So
I think this whole thing, I think the whole thing just is wrong in every sense of the word.
All I'm going to say is thepiratebay.org.
Well, we've actually had somebody in our chat room, a Northy in our chat room, who said, I've got games and torrents. I don't have time to waste on scheduled TV.
Northy, you're...
Snap, dude.
I swear to God, I have to totally agree with Northy, and I know it's something we don't advocate on this program, but I went over to a mate's house on the weekend, and I was like, wow, commercials.
Yeah.
It's been so long. Yeah.
Well, I like the way Cyrus says that she has IQ.
It's almost intriguing. You're almost looking at them going,
yeah, what is that?
What is this?
You sit there looking at them like, This is amazing.
Cyrus in our chat room says that she has her IQ on Foxtel for recording. IQ is like a PVR, for those who don't know, for the listeners who don't know. Her IQ for recording Good News Week on Monday night so that she can still watch platforms. And I agree, because I record Good News Week every Monday night because I'm doing platforms.
No, it's funny. I can't remember the last time I channel surfed. It was just like, I know exactly what I'm watching and when I'm watching.
I look, and it's no secret. You guys all know that I watch American Idol, but I got to tell you, I watch American Idol in three quarters of the time, because literally, it's like on the show where they kick people out. It's like the rule of my living room is fast forward until you see them sitting on the couch, because that's when they're going to do this. So you just sit there fast forwarding through the entire thing and go, oh, they're on the couch. Stop. Listen for 5 minutes. Fast forward.
Beardy out.
Oh, I was not noticing that. I wonder if he got criticized or whether he's changed. Ryan Seacrest doesn't say it anymore.
I think he said
Dave's taking it over.
I don't want to talk about, you know, the legal ramifications of it all, or the fact that I'm Jewish and I know a lot of lawyers, but we put it to him and he backed down.
Okay.
Yeah.
You put it to him, did you?
Well, yeah.
In a matter of words.
Let's just say I gave him an offer he couldn't refuse. Just leave it at that.
All right, well, let's look, while we're on Xbox, let's actually continue on with gaming for a second and say that this is a new game coming out. You guys, I think, have actually talked about this or something. Breach. Do you guys know the game Breach?
Yeah.
Well, forget downloading games. You know, people who go out there and download games. This guy topped it off. He actually tried to go online and tried to download the source code.
I love this guy.
He actually found access to a server. He tried to download the source code. He is now in court. He's basically being fined or being charged with to attempt to download the source code. $6 million is his charge,
which is more than the game will actually take.
Yeah, pretty much. It was being shown for the first time at. It was being shown for the first time at a convention. Where are we? At by Atomic Games, a subset of Destiny.
At PAX.
Yeah, sorry, Atomic Games and Maker. It was being shown at PAX, and he basically got access to the servers and attempted to download the source code and got busted big time. But yeah, so there you go. Forget, I think everybody should go out there and just try and find source codes. What do you reckon? I think that's the future of downloading.
Forget waiting for games, man. Just steal it before it's even available.
And then sell it to the competitor.
I would love to do that. The first thing I do is go into Modern Warfare 2 servers and just delete it.
Yeah. I knew you were going to say that.
And just listen to, you know, a billion 12-year-olds sit cry. There and go, no!
The screams of 1,000 crying little
Cyrus in the chat room says, his excuse? He wanted to play it with friends.
and little baby Jesus wept.
Oh, dear. Okay, we're going to move on. This is this Steve Jobs story. Look at this picture of Steve Jobs I found. Is this not brilliant?
Oh, wow. Look at him. He's like young.
Isn't he? He's like young and shit.
He's doing the Luther from The Surrogates. He's channeling.
So the picture of the Gawker article is like, he's got his hands up. It's almost like, I'm going to rule the world.
I will preach to you, my children.
All right, so let's explain this a little bit, and I will try and explain this best I can without actually going through reading a whole article.
Please.
All right, so apparently the head of Gawker Media, who I haven't had time to highlight any of my articles, so the print is very small. Let's see if I can find his name here, wherever it is. Anyway, the guy who runs Gawker Media was basically watching TV, and he'd had a few drinks, and he saw an iPad ad, and it kind of pissed him off. Because in the iPad ad, it talked about freedom to do stuff. And so he wrote this...
one thing at a time.
So he wrote this letter, not after August, all right? After August, it'll have multitask. But anyway, the point is where he wrote Steve Jobs a letter basically saying, you always compare yourself to Bob Dylan, and your ads talk about freedom and a revolution, and yet you're this closed... You're this closed environment, and you're not free at all, and you know, blah blah blah. And how dare you? Right? I'm paraphrasing here, of course.
Of course,
I think that was the actual quote.
Oh, pretty much. Actually, it was the drunken ramblings.
I like your comment though about him being Bob Dylan, because I can see it, because it's basically Steve Jobs is whacked out on drugs and you know, is quite delusional at the moment. So
yeah.
There is
now, I'd like to know what Steve Jobs was doing up that late. Isn't this man busy? Anyway, it says here that a little after midnight in California time, Jobs got back to him. Anyway, I can actually read you the email that he actually wrote to Jobs is here. And it says, if Dylan was 20, by the way, the guy's name is Ryan Tate. He says, if Dylan was 20 today, how would he feel about your company? Would he think the iPad had the faintest thing to do with revolution? Revolutions are about freedom. So Jobs wrote back to him and said, freedom from programs that steal your private data, freedom from programs that trash your battery, freedom from porn, yep, freedom. The times are a-changing, and some traditional PC folks feel like
freedom from
their
porn.
World is slipping away.
I don't want to live in a world without
up,
porn,
man. No, come back. Freedom from porn. What do you mean freedom from porn? Shouldn't it be a freedom... to choose porn.
We're going to come back to that question. We're going to come back to that question in another article that's happening here in Australia. But yes, I agree with you, John.
My only response to that would have been, what are you, gay? that would have been it.
All right, so the exchange goes on, and it went on many, many emails. Basically...
I love the fact that somebody managed to get hold of all of these.
Oh, this is the guy who actually was in the exchange, posted the entire exchange on Gawker Media. So after he had the entire exchange, he posted it. But, you know, the funny thing is, I'm not entirely sure why he posted it, because Jobs actually zinged him at the end. And I got to say, once you read through the entire thing, and I do suggest you go over and have a look. The link will be in the show notes. Go over and read them, because whether you agree with Steve Jobs or not, yes, I understand that he runs a closed environment and everything else. But he makes some very good points. And the point is, one of his major points is, if you don't like it, don't use it. You know, there's always choice, right? And his last line, though, which I thought was absolutely brilliant, he says, this is Steve Jobs to the head of Gawker. He says, by the way, what have you done that's so great? Do you create anything or just criticize others' work and belittle their motivations?
As a reviewer, I would just like to respond by saying to Steve Jobs, fuck you.
And so bottom line is, that's where the exchange ended. Right, so and it is available for you to read. Look, I actually found that I had a lot of respect for Jobs after this exchange, because he stayed calm, clear, and on task the entire time, whereas Tate got emotional
and personal
and was actually saying, fuck you to Steve Jobs, basically. You don't do this to a corporate executive. I'm sorry.
Well, you don't do this if you're trying to be an unbiased.
And you're trying to make a point. That's right.
However, you were drunk, so.
Yeah, no excuse. No excuse.
There's no excuse once you post it on the internet.
I also have to say that, you know, this is one argument that I talked with my son all the time. It doesn't matter what, if you're drunk or anything else, there's no excuse for bad manners. Ever.
Absolutely.
You know, there's just no excuse for bad manners. You know, and the fact is,
why are you looking at me when you say that?
Because you were looking at me. They're looking down. So I'm making eye contact with somebody in the room.
They're just like, this bad manners.
No, nothing to do with you. I'm just keep your eyes down, boys. I just look at that and I just go, I think that, you know, I've actually lost. After the whole $5,000 for the iPhone and the bullshit that's going on with that and the stolen property and now this exchange, I actually really have lost all respect for Gizmodo and Gawker Media. I really don't give a shit what happens to
these guys. I love them. I hope that they hire a squad of ninjas to infiltrate Apple and steal every new product that they're working on.
Well, we don't have to worry if Vietnamese are doing that for us. Vietnamese are opening up the product right, left, and center over there.
But for what Steve is saying, as far as the iPad's not useful for porn. If you took porn away from the internet, there'd be like three websites left.
Well, and somebody
actually platforms and DLC. That would be it. There'd be no other sites.
Somebody
left.
Actually pointed out that the iPad and the iPhone actually have the number one applications for porn on the market, which is of course the browser. So, you know,
I think it's called the Blouser.
The Blouser.
Or maybe the D-Blouser.
Now, speaking of porn, I'm going to just bring up this next story really quickly because forget the Jobs comments on it. Australian Customs has just been given new powers in this country to search laptops, phones, other electronic media, anything for porn. What? You now have to declare whether or not you have porn at the border.
I am never taking my laptop on the work junket again.
Now, have we got a major privacy issue? Porn itself, viewing porn, owning porn is not illegal in this country. If they worded it that, you know, you have to declare the fact that you have child pornography, which if you do, you're probably a moron anyway. But the point is, having porn on your laptop is not a crime.
Sounds like a way to kind of like to further hold up people and to sort of be able to isolate people when you want to search them. Like, I mean, if someone's in a bad mood at customs, now they can just turn around and go, do you have porn on that laptop?
Yeah, look,
and then basically use the next 4 hours of your life.
And if you're male, it's like a 99% chance that you're going to have
Fiona Patton, president of Australian Sex Party, who I greatly admire, came out and said in a comment about this, is it fair that customs officers rummage through someone's luggage and pull out a legal men's magazine or a lesbian journal in front of their children or their mother-in-law?
Yes.
You know,
for the comedic factor.
Comedy factor. No, it is ridiculous. And I think Buzz Out Loud had the right idea when they said that everybody who travels to Australia at the moment should load their laptops up with porn. Every single person. Just load it.
You have the right to arm yourself.
Yeah, that's right. And basically, when you arrive, say proudly and loudly, yes, I have porn.
I'd like to actually counter when they're like, do you have porn? It's like, what are you into, dog? What do you want? No, I got Asian, I got ebony, I got Latino, I got black on white, hate
look,
crimes.
Man, I got it easy for you. I got it in separate directories. You can just grab that shit.
Snake Oz in the chat room says, I'm with Dave. Can't take phone overseas again.
I'd just be holding it with like the nastiest gay midget porn that I have and just sit there and be like, check it out. That's what I got. The guys would be like, oh, my eyes. And you slip through customs.
No, I just think this is a complete breach of privacy. I don't see why it has anything to do with anyone.
Why are we putting it on? What?
It's on. It's now. It's,
yeah, no, but where did this come from?
I have no idea. Nobody does. Nobody understands why this has come into effect. Why is it we're searching people for porn? Shane, you look like you've got a comment.
Yes.
Shut up!
besides the porn issue, though, isn't it being very intrusive to a person to search through their computer anyway?
Yeah, well, it's a breach of privacy.
I don't understand how that's been legalized. And then what exactly are they searching for?
What they're actually looking for, you know damn well, they're looking for anything that might be considered refused classification and then bust your ass on it. So the Uncut Pirates, for instance, you know, or something like that, or child pornography or bestiality or anything else. But, you know, unless you suspect somebody is carrying or trafficking in child pornography, you know, you are innocent until proven guilty. You know, that's one of the fundamental basis of our law system, is that you are innocent until proven guilty.
So what are we going to do now? Are we just going to base it on, like, if I look at you and I go, well, he looks like he might look at child porn, I'm going to go through his entire...
Apparently, it is actually... I know I haven't traveled in a while, but apparently it is now on the card. You know where it says, do you have anything to declare? One of the checkboxes is porn.
I just change it. Porn is awesome. Tick. Yes.
Now, my question, though, and this is the biggest question to all of this is, can you please define pornography? I mean, the big question I have is, can you please define pornography?
Oh, dude, and like...
Anything that is awesome that brings you to climax.
Somebody pointed out, though, on Buzz Out Loud, if I have a picture I've taken of my baby in the bathtub, you know, is that pornography?
Or even better than that, if you and your wife have done pictures and so on and so forth, what right is it of that person?
Well, yeah, and somebody actually raised that point. They said, what if you've been off in overseas and you've been on holidays and you've got a bit frisky and you've used your video camera to videotape yourself in the bedroom of the hotel or something like that? That is porn.
Do we have to declare that? Do I have to show? Like, and I find that more disgusting is the very concept of somebody being able to go through and watch.
We have so many things that are
I think watching you naked doing...
I know, right?
would be quite disgusting.
It's actually, it would when you watch it, it's kind of like the Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, the skin melting and shit like that. That would be what would happen.
That would have been the syphilis.
I have very big issues with this.
Sorry, guys.
I have very big issues with anything
Josh
to do with...
himself out now.
censorship and privacy issues. One of the reasons why I'm leaving Facebook. We'll talk about that in the after show.
But it's also like you're not hurting anybody by doing this. It's just you. It's for yourself. And they should, seriously, this country and the whole system, it's just going completely out of whack. It's just complete invasion of privacy. And there's
for something that is legal.
Yeah, there's no line anymore. You know, they're just using it for... It's kind of like when Homeland Security came out and it was anything under a terrorist threat. It was basically, this is my license to fuck anybody up who I feel like. Mm-hmm. And this is exactly what it's feeling like again. It is just... where's the line? People need to just sit there and go, this is too far. I'm not saying it about porn. It's just privacy.
Yeah, absolutely. Snake Oz has basically said, will they check web histories on porn links? In your browser. I mean, it's a good point. Mm. Anything that is pornography related, I mean, they have the right to open your laptop and go through your entire laptop. They have the right legally to just say, are you carrying porn? Prove it to us. You know? And I think that is disgusting.
Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep... I'm just warning everybody before I say this. But from now on, I'm going to masturbate with condoms. And I'm going to keep that evidence. And when I go to the airport, I'll be like, do you watch porn? Bang! Yeah, I fucking watch porn.
Oh, there's an image I'm not going to get out of my mind.
Sorry, but it just it incenses me. I'm very much like you, Dave, when it comes to personal freedoms. You know, you have the right to throw a used condom in a customs handler's face if they quiz you on pornography. And
as an example, as a photographer, I have taken nude shots of people, and I have a copy of those of my portfolio on my phone. Is that now
your porn folio?
Is that now considered pornography? And is that now going to be searched at customs and everything else? I mean, they're just artistic nudes. Mm. And this is why I say, define porn, What is it exactly that you are looking for when you actually say pornography?
I can just see it.
And by whose moral standard are you saying pornography?
It'll be now you'll have like a picture of a Renaissance painting of a nude or a nude statue, and they'll be like, jail. What?
It's like that Henson guy who got in all that trouble for his photography recently at the because he takes nudes of the kids, but they're all very artistic. And he got his stuff confiscated and all this, and that's of course all been returned because it's not pornography, it's art. But it's like,
we call that the Polanski defense.
Where's the line? That's all I want to know. Makes me mad. All right. If you have comments about this, if you have any issues, anybody who is listening to this and has comments about this article, the link will be in the show notes. Go to our forums, geekactually.com/forums. Have your voice heard. I want to get a discussion started about this. I really want a discussion about privacy. Mm. I really want to know what people are thinking about this because this is disgusting and it's vile. All right. We'll just fly through this one really quickly because I just think it's kind of ridiculous. Apparently, scientists have now for the first time claim that they have created... Oh, wait a minute. I've got a graphic that Dave's going to love. Ready? They claim they have created life! It lives!
For the audio viewers, that is, of course, Gene Wilder from Young Frankenstein.
All right, so basically, in a nutshell, we won't go through all of the really deep and meaningful of this, but basically what they've done is they have created a new form of bacteria, and they've actually managed to make it replicate, so they've brought it to life. They actually created this new form of life. However...
It's actually called the... it's called Conroy, I believe.
Oh, we'll get in trouble for that one. All right, so the question here is, though, did they really create life or not? All right?
No.
Now, what he did scientifically was very, very clever. But was it actually a new life, or was he just changing something? Now, what he did was he took an existing bacterium. He extracted the entire genetic content from the inside of it, genetically coded new content, so created a new form of life, basically, reinserted it into the bacteria's shell that was basically still there, and it came to life, right? So has he really created life, or has he just manipulated something that already existed, is the question. The argument that we were talking about downstairs with my lovely wife, Katie, was if you took a PC that had Linux on it, stripped Linux off and put Windows on it, it's still a PC.
Mm.
It has new guts, but it's still a PC.
This is how the Cylons were born.
Oh, that's why.
No, forget Cylons, dude. I'm just going to say, so we're taking bacteria and we're putting new bacteria in it. All I have to wait now for it to do is to genetically modify itself and then basically breed all over the place. And that's how we get the zombie apocalypse.
I love Autonomous in our chat room. It says Franken-coli. That is brilliant. All right, so we'll move on from there. That wasn't that. You know, it's just a piece of news. I saw it on TV last night as well, and they were talking about it. And I just kind of go, really, is it? I mean, yeah, look, scientifically, it's very, very clever what he did. But it's also very dangerous. And this is here's our public service announcement for the day. Creating something like this is something that our environment has never seen before, obviously, because it's new. It's been artificially created. If this thing gets out into the wild, we don't have any natural defenses for this.
Do we know what it does?
No.
Does he know what it does?
Actually, the bacteria is called Jobs.
Oh.
Because you don't know if it's real or not. And if it gets out into the wild, don't know the havoc that it would cause.
Well, you don't actually know it, but Steve Jobs is actually the first Cylon.
There you go. I think he might be actually.
I think they might have. What they did was they extracted.
Oh man, I feel like we should have the $6 Million Man music playing right now. We can rebuild him.
It's kind of like what Windows did. They extracted all of the Mac stuff out of it and then just put Windows back in.
Yes.
And went, it's the same. It's new.
Yeah, and different. it's kind of like, just to counter, it's kind of like what Apple did when they extracted all the content out of Xerox and injected it into the Macintosh and, you know.
I can make up words like Xerox.
All right, look, let's lighten this up just a little bit and say, Zuckerberg, you are a giant schmuck. Right? So, where's my article gone? I've lost the article now. Here it is. Mark Zuckerberg, as we know, can't keep a privacy policy under control to satisfy the world at all. He basically keeps changing the rules, and now Facebook is basically bleeding information out. Apparently, some of the photos have shown – some of people's private personal profile photos have turned up on Google searches because the walls are falling apart on Facebook because they keep opening it up further and further and further. But on top of all of that, and this is one of the reasons why, as I've said on my Facebook, if you are following me, May 31st, I am leaving Facebook. Period. I'm closing down all of my Facebook stuff because he also has a complete and utter complete contempt for his users. All right. He was a recent text message conversation has surfaced, which I don't have in front of me right now. We actually wrote an article on geekactually.com, and you can find it, where basically he referred to all the users of Facebook, the early users. This is when he was first starting out. This is what I'm saying. Everything you do on the internet, it stays around. It never goes away. All right. And this guy, this is when they had 4,000 users. So this is a long time ago. Somebody asked him in a text message, why would people give you their personal information? And Zuckerberg said, that's because they're dumb fucks. All right. So I have no respect for this man at all. And the good news is, apparently, David Fincher doesn't have any respect for this man either. Because in the new movie that's coming out based on the creation of Facebook called The Social Network, apparently they're taking the juiciest parts from the book, The Accidental Billionaires, and they're actually painting a portrait of Zuckerberg as being a complete asshole. Complete sex maniac, sex-driven asshole. And all I can say is, I can't wait till the lawsuits come.
You know? And all I can say is, I respect him even more now. What? You're saying he's a geek who got money, who wants to have sex with women? He doesn't care about anybody?
Yeah, but you don't win. Fuck over everybody else to do it, as far as I'm
look,
concerned.
Look, the only thing I care about is...
Because he said in a text message.
Sorry?
Because he said...
These were a text conversation between him and another person.
Okay, so no, I'm sorry, Dave, but I'm just going to pull back and ask you a question. Mm-hmm. So, a personal conversation between him and a friend, you've never said that anyone... That you knew.
I would not refer to, as an example, I would not refer to my listeners as dumb fucks. I would not sit there and say, oh, they're just idiots for listening to me.
Mm. I'm not saying anything right now, considering I've called the chat room everything yeah, all right,
but I'm saying since me. I'm saying me. The point is, I don't show contempt for the people who are spending their time with us because I sit there and say, I have respect for them as the audience. If I don't have an audience, I don't have a show. You know?
You should try it. Contempt is fun.
But the point is that this is a man who isn't just putting out a podcast. This is a man who is storing all of our personal data. This man is holding the key to almost, I mean, not necessarily you. You might not put all your information on, but there are a great deal of people. Let's face it, Facebook has how many billion people using it now?
Look, I'll be honest. I use it and besides, you know, my awesome gift of the gab, it is my number one networking tool that I use, and probably 90% of the people on my profile are work-related, you know, people who I've met through work. And it's essential for me to do it to keep in touch. But, I mean, even I used to laugh at people who had the, you know, closed profiles and whatever else, and I was like, who the fuck are you that you think that, you know, you're that important or whatever else? And I have to say, I've closed my profile off because you just don't know who's out there. Well, and I've taken basically anything personal really about me other than like my date of birth. That's about
but
it.
But funnily enough, you say your date of birth. In America, there are now actually people who are scanning Facebook. They are pulling people's little bits of pieces of information that you would think is not really even that important. Things like where you were born, your date of birth, your mother's maiden name. Why? Because to get your bank details in an American bank, what information do you have to give them? My date of birth, my mother's maiden name, and my place of birth. And they'll give you all the information.
Yeah. I mean, dude,
people are stealing identities.
I can understand that. But I mean, I do feel a little bit for that comment because I sometimes do look at Facebook and I think... to me, it's like the concept of me having a house, like, or our apartment, and me going out and getting big pieces of paper, right? With, you know, giant handwritten signs and sticking them outside my house with all my details on it. Because that's what you're doing with Facebook.
That's right.
If you are silly enough to put up all the information about yourself, to put up photos that you don't want people to see, like, as an example, if there are photos of you that maybe you don't want your parents to see, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you stick them up on Facebook and your parents find out. That's your fault.
Okay, but all right, that's not all right, Facebook. No, but I'm going to defend the users here for a minute though, Josh, and say, what if I was to say to you though that the general idea of Facebook was a gated community? The idea was you became a member and then it was all centralized within Facebook. That's how it started, right? Mm. The idea was if you weren't a member of Facebook, you couldn't get access to anything. If you weren't friends with somebody, you couldn't see their stuff. Right. Mm. Over the course of the last few years, what has happened is they keep changing the privacy policy.
Yeah.
At the moment, the way it stands at the moment, the default privacy standard is wide open.
Yeah.
And that's the problem is even if you had everything locked down, as soon as they changed it over, everything reopened. So you think you're locked down, but in fact, all your stuff is now out in the wild.
That is something, it's a very good point, Dave, because I actually got an email from a chick that I know, and it basically said that. If you actually, there was no announcement, there was no bulk email that they sent out or anything. Mm. They completely agree with Dave. They left everything open. And what you actually have to do is go into account, privacy settings, account security, and then right down the bottom there's a little box that you tick and it's like, do you not wish to have all of your...
No, and then it goes even further than that though because...
To pass on to third party.
Because the actual drop-down options are pretty loose and vague as to what they are. And the very bottom one is customized. The average user does not go to customize.
Yeah.
The average user goes, friends or everyone or... They don't understand that when you say... Friends, the new privacy policy actually shares your information with all your friends all of their friends and all of their friends and all of their friends. So what they've done is they've essentially, even if you say just my friends, you've opened it up to just about everybody in the social network.
Mm.
You know, it is so ridiculous how they've changed the rules. And this is like the third time they've done it in the space of a year and a half. And they'll do it again.
They need to just
pick. And Zuckerberg is actually on record as saying, I don't understand why you wouldn't want to share everything with everyone. So he wants it all out there. He wants, except when he got stung. Because apparently somebody got in there and found out information about him, and he went, oh, but, you know, that's supposed to have been private. He thought he was locked off. And it's like, oh, good, share everybody else but yourself, you prick, you know?
That's a valid point. I would ask if he could put all of his bank account details and his passwords up on there. If he doesn't want to share it with everyone, he can just share it with me, Dave Kaziki, K-O-Z-I-C-K-I.
And so Cyrus has said here, Facebook is a necessary evil to stay in contact with certain friends of me. All right, I'm going to use Josh's analogy. I'm going to say, let's say Facebook, or let's say that your internet presence is your house. Right? Mm-hmm. Facebook is like plastering your windows with all your personal information. I would also say, what does every house have? It's got a mailbox. I have an email address. If people want to write to me, they can send me an email. I have a website. They can find out information about me. In fact, I have two websites and a forum, and I have a Twitter account, and I have 15 email addresses. I am infinitely contactable. You know, I don't need Facebook. I sit there and look at it and go, Facebook was a convenience that I thought was doing me all right. But I sit there and I look at it and go, it's not worth it. It's not worth the time invested in it. And somebody, I think it was Jason Calacanis pointed out, who's a tech observist in America. And I just love what he said when he said the last major factor, because he's also just closed his Facebook account and he had thousands of users. Mm-hmm. He basically said, take a moment and calculate the amount of time wasted in checking the feed, in, you know, putting updates in and putting your photographs up. All this is all time that you could have been doing stuff to your own site or your own forum or doing work.
How are you meant to find a shot of that chick that you met, you know, a week ago in a bikini if you don't stick to
Facebook? Well, you know what? The way the Facebook's privacy at the moment, a Google search should just about turn that up for you.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, just as a counterpoint, I mean, I'm definitely not going to give up mine, and I do see your points. Mm. I really do. Don't misunderstand me. I think that people need to have a look at what they're using Facebook for and how open they're allowing their life to be. That's my cause for thing. Because, like, with my account, you will find a bunch of photos that I did. Some little bit of photography work, which is free to air. I don't care if anybody sees them. It's just something.
However, do you realize now, though, that because you put them on Facebook, according to the Facebook EULA, they own them.
Yeah, which is fine because I'm not trying to make money out of them. There is that, and there is about two profile pics, and that's it, right? Because I don't care about any of those photos. People can feel free to turn them around.
I have the total like opposite slant, which is I don't give a fuck who has a look at my Facebook account in general. It's just like I put every picture up of everything of me pulling every face under the sun, drunk, falling down, whatever. I don't care, man. You know what I mean? It's people who... I think that... I kind of agree with both of you, do you know what I mean? There is a privacy thing that you have to deal with, but at the same time, it's just common sense of what you're going to put up there. You know what I mean? If you're embarrassed to... if you're some, you know, 22-year-old college chick who has pictures of herself kissing 10 other girls or whatever else, and you're worried your folks are going to find out, then don't put it in a forum where it could be found. Do you know what I mean? It's like, for me, I don't care. If I had a shot of me kissing 10 chicks, I would be putting it up everywhere and perhaps drop the privacy level on my thing so everyone could see it.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, I just think, yes, people need to be careful with what they do. And, you know, I think the privacy thing is an issue. I think that they should have been locked off automatically. But if you're going to use... Like, I mean, you've made the choice that everyone should make. Look at it. Learn about Facebook. Learn Absolutely. About what it's going to do. And make the decision whether...
Look, and I don't... Look, anybody who wants to continue using Facebook, I don't begrudge you wanting to use Facebook. I am going to probably join other social networks in the future because you test things out and you try things out and so forth. I just don't want to use Facebook anymore.
You should join the 30 Rock inspired one that they've started up called UFace.
UFace. Now, Shane, what are your thoughts on this?
I was just going to say a quick thing. I'm just interested to know perhaps if an internet security company actually made software for social networking so people wouldn't have problems with...
Not as far as I'm aware, but it would be an interesting thing for somebody to get into.
What if they did that? I mean... Mostly at the moment,
like an application.
They're
for
using
Facebook
it for online banking at the moment. That's
yeah. I mean, you put in something like 128-bit encryption and all sorts of other stuff. I don't understand why Facebook isn't a secure server with that amount of data on it. I'm not sure. I mean, they've got advertising and financials, and people, you know, spend money there. They've got their own currency now. You look at it and go, why isn't it a secure server? I don't understand why it's not. You know, I think anything
because that would cost money.
Yeah, basically, and Zuckerberg wouldn't be able to open up. Did you hear about the story, I think it was a week ago, when they were doing some back-end servicing on Facebook and the chat, the private chat, became public? So the actual searches, so you could, on Google, you would actually see everybody's chat.
Nice.
You know, I mean, this is, these are all problems that Facebook is having problems with. So I just look at it and go, after, also remember that May 31st is the Boycott Facebook Day. This is in honor of the girl who went out to meet that guy and got killed. Did you guys hear about this? She met a Facebook friend, decided to go meet him, and then he killed her, right? And because of the fact that all of her information was online and he got access to everything, right? But the point is that there is a movement at the moment in Australia called Boycott Facebook Day, May 31st, in honor of her, basically. And they're not saying close your accounts, but everybody's supposed to go dark on that day or something. I don't know what it is, but other people are using that day, like myself, to also close Facebook accounts, which is why May 31st is the deadline for
me. I can understand that, but after reading that article, and, you know, like, I do understand.
That wasn't actually, she shared everything with him. She was friends with him, so there is a big difference.
Yeah, no, but I mean, more importantly, I don't understand the difference between the social networking aspect and that, or an email, or a letter.
Yeah,
or just meeting somebody in a bar.
I think that's where common sense, it's a tragedy.
It's a tragedy.
I'm not trying to make light of the situation.
I actually don't blame Facebook for
that. But at the same time, common sense has to be somewhere along the way. I mean, there's so much of this sort of networking and PM where people are just like, oh, I just met this guy, and you don't know anything about this
person.
I'm going
to back that up one step, though. I'm going to say I do blame Facebook partially. And it's not that I blame Facebook for the social networking aspect of it. That's what Facebook is for. What I do blame Facebook for is the fact that you don't have to prove who you are to get a Facebook account. I think one of the biggest issues with Facebook and a lot of these other social networking sites is anybody can just go on and say, hi, I'm Joe Blog, you know, and put my name up there, and I've suddenly got an account. How do we know that? Because everybody is signing their cats and dogs up for accounts right now.
I'm sorry, but during sort of the early 90s, when we sort of had the first rise of kind of the concept of online dating and so on and so forth, I'm sorry, but if you're not going to make sure that the first few times you meet somebody are in a public place...
Yeah,
I agree with that 100%, but one of the issues that came up with this girl was at first, once she was killed, they found out who it is now, but when she was first killed, they didn't know who the guy was, because they couldn't go back and trace the record and say that account belonged to this person.
Absolutely, but if I put up a personal ad in the paper, it's still the same
situation.
Sure,
but just because you can do it that way somewhere else doesn't mean that's the way it should work everywhere. Facebook is so big and has so much going on, and there are so many people interacting. What is wrong with proving your identity to get a membership into Facebook? So at least there is a record that account belongs to a certain person.
How would you do it now?
A driver's license number, a credit card.
Starting
who knows?
Starting again.
Sorry?
Starting again, locking off every single account in the world, and then starting over.
Why not?
I'm not saying.
I get everything that you're both saying, but as I keep reiterating, common sense has to prevail. Which is really, you know, and look, I feel for this girl's parents. You know, it's a horrible thing to happen, but you know, it would be the same thing as my sister, you know, going out with somebody who she'd never, you know, barely even knew, and I'd be like, I'm chaperoning tonight, sweetheart, and I don't care if you hate me forever, and I did it before when she was, you know, in her teens, and I would do it again, which is why I'm announcing I'm starting up a new company called Facebook Security, which is when you friend somebody, I will get a Arnold Schwarzenegger-type bodyguard to follow you along to your meet, and make sure that the only thing that happens is a fun and frivolous time for all.
I'd like to point out that in our chat room, so he is actually out chatting, Octane has said, thank God I'm an antisocial, shut in. All right, let's move on. We've really gone long on that. It is an important issue. There's a lot going on. But yes, let me just make it very clear for people who do follow us on Facebook. The Geek Actually fan page will disintegrate when my account disintegrates. Unfortunately, they're connected, and that's just the way it's going to be. So if you do want to follow anything to do with Geek Actually, you can follow us on Twitter, David McVeigh on Twitter. We have our own forum, which we've done things like for the unofficial Geek Actually Movie Club and stuff. Our postings are now in our forum, which is geekactually.com/forum. And there's the geekactually.com site. And all of our contact details, like email addresses and stuff, are on that site. So,
and there will be launched a new website, which is don'tcallmepeterjackson.com.
On that note, we're going to scrap a couple of these. We're going to scrap a couple of these tech stories because we're out of time. Oh, such a shame because that was a fun story. Apparently, there's no more room left in the internet. But
maybe, just I'm sorry. Now that you've said that, you've got to tell me where that's going.
No, basically, they're saying that in about 500 days, approximately 500 days, we are going to be out of IP numbers because of all of the new smart devices like phones and iPads and everything else out there, all taking IP numbers. We are literally running out of IPs. But there is a hope on the horizon, which is at the moment we're using IPv4. We have moved to IPv6, which increases the number of IP numbers around. Not all devices are IPv6 compatible yet, but hopefully in the future everything will. We're not going to run out of IP numbers. This is a beat up story, but I thought it was funny because they headlined the article, "No room on the internet." You know, it's like it's full. It's over. It's full. Fun time's over.
If they go through and ban porn like they were talking about, then you know you've got plenty of
room. Well, look, you know, it really comes down to the fact that if everybody would actually start... No, actually, no, because that doesn't actually solve the problem. I was about to say, one problem is domain names, and they tried to fix that by creating new subdomains, so you could actually have a name .porn or .adult or what have you. Nobody adopted them. They all liked .com, and so everybody was just taking those. This is actually about the underlying IP structure, though. This is about the numbers, and we are running out of numbers. But IPv6 should solve all of that once all devices are IPv6. All right, let's move into film and television. We're going to kick through a couple of these. Shia LaBeouf. Now, I have a picture of him, and I got to show you this picture because he just looks apologetic.
Is he in Mario costume?
I'm sorry.
I think that's his sad face because he realizes that his time with Megan Fox is drawing.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, it is drawn to an end. Drawn to an end. All right. So basically, last week we reported that Shia LaBeouf had come out basically saying that he was really sorry that Transformers 2 sucked and that Transformers 3 will be awesome. And this week, he came out in an LA Times article basically saying he's really sorry about Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and he knows that we blew it, and that and he talked to Harrison Ford, and they knew they blew it, and he's even spoken to Spielberg, and they all kind of realized that they blew it. But it's like, all I can think is, Shia, stop apologizing for past films and make better films. Simple story.
Do you know what annoys me about reading this article is you kind of get the feeling that he knew this before.
Exactly.
And Spielberg knew this before, and Harrison Ford knew this before, and they were all like, fuck it, we don't care, $787 million, let's just do it again.
That's right.
And this is what, you know, look, everyone knows I'm a fan of bad movies, but there's a difference between a B-grade movie and a bad movie.
Yeah,
and that was a really bad movie. Transformers 2 was a horrible movie, and I'm the biggest, you know, you guys know.
Look, I love watching junk.
Yeah,
you know?
But that was just crap.
Yeah.
And then, and I am predicting, call it controversial, but I'm predicting Wall Street Money Never Sleeps will be the king of the crap.
Well,
pile.
Look, and if Oliver Stone's track record for his last couple of films proves, I don't think he's got it in him anymore. So.
I think Oliver Stone is just, it has nothing to do with him. The title alone, crap.
Yeah, crap.
The trailer I've seen, crap. It just does not look good in any way, shape, or form. And you know what? I'd have more respect for him if he was just like, if he did a McConaughey, you know, he just said, yeah, I know I do crap movies, but they keep paying me for it.
Octane in the chat room said, yeah, take the Uwe Boll approach. Don't apologize for anything.
And if anyone gives you the shits, put on some golden gloves and beat the crap out of you.
Absolutely, damn straight. So, Shia, stop apologizing. It's wearing on me. All right, it's starting to wear on me drastically. All right. Terry Gilliam is at it again. As I posted, I posted an article on geekactually.com this week, which actually says Terry Gilliam is chasing windmills again.
I love that picture.
So do I. I think it's a great picture. Terry Gilliam has managed to get the budget together, and he is going to make The Man Who Killed Don Quixote. Again.
Brilliant.
last time he had $35 million, his budget's been cut to $20 million. Last time he had whatever his name was, the older actor who got sick and couldn't do the film. Now he has Robert Duvall. Last time he had Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp is unfortunately unable to do it. So now he has Ewan McGregor. So the film is going ahead. Gilliam is finally going to get his Man Who Killed Don Quixote movie happening. Or is he?
he did Parnassus, right?
Yes, he did. Yeah,
It's going to be crap. I'm sorry. I love old Gilliam. You know, Time Bandits, Brazil, fantastic.
Brazil,
brilliant movies. He hasn't made anything in the vicinity of that for a very, very long time. And, I mean, I thought Parnassus was ridiculously overrated. I did not get why everybody was going on about Heath Ledger's performance just because he'd passed. It's one of my...
His performance wasn't that good.
I thought his performance was average at best. It's
The guys that actually replaced him were actually better than him.
Absolutely. Jude Law was great, and I hate Jude Law in general. Mm. I'm going to be pushing our explicit tag to the max.
Oh, go for it.
But it's a saying that stuck with me, and it was actually my mum who said it to me, which is, just because somebody's passed, it doesn't mean that they weren't a cunt. And
it
just stands that, you know, okay, look, again, Heath Ledger died, horrible thing, but it doesn't mean that you just, any film that he's made is genius from now on. And it's the same thing with Gilliam. I was really not at all impressed with that film, and I think that this is going to jump the shark big time.
Ooh.
I'm actually kind of on Dave's page, unfortunately. I kind of look at it and go, this film has been so much trouble. It has been so cursed. He's never had much luck with it. All I go is, just stop it. Mm. Move on. There's something telling
bad
you.
Gilliam.
It's something bad Gilliam. There is something in the universe telling you this film is not meant to happen.
Yep.
You know? Give it up. Let
you,
it go.
You lost everybody that you wanted to be in it originally.
Yeah.
And now you've got half a budget. You know, I'm looking forward to the next one, which will be an iPhone application that you can download, where it will have like a $10,000 budget, and it'll be him shooting it on his iPhone. Hey, check it out. Don't care.
Speaking of iPhones, I love the fact that Jay Bird has just joined our chat room. No other conversation, has just joined and just come in with, I want an iPad.
Okay. Troll. Troll.
That's just like, well, that's pretty blunt. Anyway, all right, we're kind of all over the place with these show notes. You know that?
I'm trying to follow which story.
No, I'm jumping all over the place because the problem is I have a list of show notes here and I have a list of graphics and stuff here and I keep losing track looking at here going, oh, that's next, but it's actually not next. This was actually next. But anyway, let's go on and have a look at a trailer here. Now, I actually put in the geekactually.com post for this one. You can find this trailer at geekactually.com. The link will also be in the show notes. This is a new film called The Adjustment Bureau, and it is based on a Philip K. Dick novel, or short story, I should say, actually. And I said to Josh, and I put it on the post as well, this is going to be a very cerebral year this year. We've got this, and we've got Inception. It just looks like this is going to be a bit of a brain-bending year for films coming up this summer break. So have a look at The Adjustment Bureau, and we'll be right back.
You're that guy running for Senate, aren't you?
I am that guy. Are you a registered New York voter?
Do I sound like I am?
David.
I gotta go. Sorry.
How was that?
I don't know.
Let's race.
You challenge me in those shoes?
What is this?
We are the people who make sure things happen according to plan.
We monitor the entire world.
Oh.
Can't outrun your fate, David.
You've just seen behind a curtain that you weren't even supposed to know existed.
This is your plan,
and we're determined to keep it that way. You bumped into a woman this morning on the bus.
Were you just staring at my legs?
I was defenseless against the dress.
What does that have to do with anything? Your path through the world is supposed to have been adjusted. You weren't ever supposed to see her again.
If you truly love her,
just
walk away. Stay with her. It not only kills your dreams, it kills hers.
I don't care what you put in my way, I'm not giving up.
They're making a run for it.
What the hell is going on?
I need you to trust me.
Okay.
All I have are the choices I make, and I choose her.
Just remember, we tried to reason with you.
I'd just like to point out that our chat room has gone crazy over this. And somebody said, didn't we watch this 2 weeks ago? Snake Oil says, no, that was Inception. And Autonomous says, wow, it's bizarrely familiar. It's true. We're really getting into brain-bending territory here with, you know, the world is not what it seems and, you know, all sorts of stuff. I'm curious about it. I love Emily Blunt. No secret there. And
I was also defenseless against her dress.
Yes. And I quite like Matt Damon lately, too, the stuff he's been doing. So I'm curious. And Philip K. Dick, I love as a storyteller. I mean, he's got some great stuff.
The only thing I worry about is what we were talking about with it being part Dark City, because if anybody's seen Dark City, it's a mess of a film.
Yeah, it is. Good concepts, though.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Does not keep me entertained. No.
I watched the director's cut, actually, just a few months ago. I picked it up on DVD.
I didn't realize there was any more longness you could have put in that movie. I didn't think you could extend that film any further and make it any less watchable. But
well, I think the hope was the director's cut would make it a little bit more, make more sense.
Plausible.
I thought that it would align Rufus Sewell's eyes with the director's cut, but unfortunately, he's still rocking the Marty Feldman.
Oh, Octane says he watched the director's cut last night. What did you think of it, Octane?
How odd.
Twice?
Twice? I think you mean you watched the part where Melissa George got naked twice.
Well,
be honest.
That was on loop on my DS.
That is why I am looking forward to some Blu-ray 11 from this.
All right. Now, look, I got some very tasteful pictures. These were lined up for Dave, really, more than anybody.
Nom.
Megan Fox.
Rubs his hands with glee.
Megan Fox has been signed to do Transformers 3.
But how could she possibly not be signed with such tasteful imagery like this?
Like this one. I mean, isn't she just classy?
Bazinga.
She is just trailer trash.
She's
class,
so classy. And
right,
look, we've also got this one. This one, there you go. This is her future career, I think.
This is known as the waiting for Dave position. Look, I have to say, I actually read your article on this on the website, amazingly enough, as it is.
Snake's put up in the chat room, Transformers 3 will suck without Megan Fox. Now we have to follow a storyline.
It's funny, it's the second time I've heard that this week, because Fox from Real Junkies put on his Facebook profile exactly the same thing.
Yeah, it's not going to be good. You're going to have to rely on Michael Bay for plot lines, which usually involves... That's a story, right?
Now I just gotta raise. I've got one more tasteful picture of Megan Fox here. Here you go. This is all from her future career. I posited in my article that I think her future career does lie in porn.
That's what I was getting to.
Can
I think
just
that's
bring
a great
up
point.
About the shot, this picture that we're looking at there?
It's can
like,
you send
it's
that
like
to me?
She's
by the way,
too lazy. It's like she's too lazy to even pose properly. She's kind of just sort of sitting back, like. Yeah, whatever. Just keep shooting.
Do you know what? It's one of those things that...
God bless FHM magazine.
I hate about impossibly good-looking women where they're just like, I'm hot. I don't need personality.
And that's the funny thing.
Just like, you know
I
what?
Actually
it's
don't think she's actually even that pretty. She's just sex. I mean, that's the thing. You just look at her and you just go, you're just oozing sex out your pores, you know?
I guess the word
which is
I
why
would
I think
use...
she should go to be a porn star.
Yeah, like Megan Fox, you wouldn't have like you wouldn't make love to her. You would hate fuck her, and that is the way that you would kind of do it.
Oh,
with
that's
Megan
terrible!
Fox.
Oh, chat room has gone crazy. Octane now says she's already got the porn name. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's true. That's a pretty
no. She needs three X's before. It's...
yeah, it'd be Megan Fox.
It can be adjusted, Dave. I
also said in my article that I think her first film should be Transfornication, but you know that's. But anyway, the point is that Paramount Pictures has not renewed her option for Transformers 3, and apparently final decision came down to Michael Bay, and Michael Bay didn't renew her option. Now, I find this really surprising, considering, I mean, if you go back and listen to some of our past shows, the war of words that these two got into about a year ago, and
she called him Hitler?
And just recently she came out and said working on a Michael Bay set was like working for Hitler. You know, it's like, I wonder why he didn't renew your option.
I think she needs to understand that a solarium is not exactly the same as a concentration camp. So there's different levels of
now,
temperature operating.
What we don't have in this article, but it came out yesterday, and I haven't posted the update on it yet, but the update is that Megan Fox's rep has now come out and said, no, she chose not to be. And,
of course.
And all I can think is, you can't fire me, I quit.
It's like, do you like money? Here's $20 million. Don't be in the movie.
So
my pick is that they'll be going with Scarlett Johansson
after her genius
turn in Iron Man 2, as far as kickassery and extreme hotness. I have to say, I've never seen a woman look that hot fully clothed in my life. And
she was awesome.
She just looked stunning, and she brought real presence with her. And maybe she could take the douchiness away from Shia LaBeouf in the third one if they team them
all
up.
I can think is we don't have to worry about this. Michael Bay casts with his penis, we know that, and the one thing that he is very good at is finding hotness. Let's remember Bad Boys. He discovered Tia Leone, who was gorgeous at that time. He's discovered
and Bad Boys 2, Gabriel Union, for the win.
Well, there you go.
That
so
would
he
be
knows,
the
so
black chick for people who don't know.
So he knows how to cast with his penis, and you know that he'll cast some new young hotness for Transformers 3, and she won't be able to act just like Megan Fox, but she'll look hot, and she'll be able to bend over and have the glistening belly and everything just like Megan Fox did, which is what we all remember her for. Mm. It's not her acting ability, it's the two shots we remember.
She speaks? She can talk.
The two shots we remember Megan Fox for. The shot where she opens the bonnet to the car and she leans over the car with that little halter top and she's got that sweaty purple
and
body.
And Shia LaBeouf has the exact reaction that every guy watching that film did, where he bites his arm. He's like, holy shit!
And then in Transformers 2, where she's sitting on the back of the motorbike.
Which is, again, the waiting for Dave position.
That's right. So you sit there and go, those are the two shots that we all remember Megan Fox for. Does anybody remember anything in Jennifer's body? There is nothing.
Me?
What?
I remember saying this is a shit film about 20 times.
Man, not good, not good.
But it sounds to me like Michael Bay should be doing porn if he's casting with his
penis. I think he should.
I would love to see that, man. I would like to see like a 360 degree cum shot. camera going around, a massive explosion in the background.
His new meaning to be blowing shit up, right?
Yeah. Moving around a lot.
You see a guy like running to catch his girlfriend. Dun, 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 dun. I'm gonna get you, girl. Dun, 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 dun. Dives in through the bedroom window, kicks open the door.
Look, and I gotta say, we're gonna put a disclaimer on here. I am not saying that she should go do porn because it's some bad thing. I actually like porn, and I think that she could actually have
really?
A very good. I think she could have a very good career in porn.
But she has to look interested. I'm sorry, but I have to say, and this is probably I can weigh in on this because people who don't know, and I apologize for anyone who's visiting the show for the first time today. I review porn for Australian Penthouse, so I do know a little bit of what I'm talking about, and the way that we rank the best ones are how into it they are, and Megan Fox would probably be a dead fish as far as I would, you know, she'd be like, I'm hot, that's all that matters.
Some guys get off on that, though, that whole disinterested thing. Look at Kristen Stewart, you know.
Honestly, I would take a baseball bat to the back of her head happily just to get some response from her. See, oh my God, you're breaking my head.
Oh, you're terrible. All right, let's move on. Let's get off of her for a minute, and I'm going to show you.
Let's do that.
I'm going to show you a picture here, which I found this picture this week, and I thought, ooh, that's an interesting picture. This is the Wachowskis.
What is that?
This is...
The Wachowski
this is
siblings
this
now?
Is
They're
this
not
is,
brothers?
This is Andy and... Formerly Larry Wachowski, it is now Lana Wachowski.
Not Levine.
No. Now we've known the story is not actually about his sex life, so we're not going to get too deep into it. But we've known for a long time that he liked cross dressing. He dated a dominatrix. Larry's always had very kind of interesting finding himself journey. Recently, he/she has started to refer to himself as Lana. If you go to his IMDb page, it is now all Lana Wachowski and so forth. And apparently he has gone through the sex change operations and so forth, and he is now her. Anyway, so that's why I didn't put the Wachowski brothers on the show notes. I just put the Wachowskis because I think things have changed a little bit. Anyway, the point of this story is not...
A little bit?
Not Andy and Lana's backstory. It's the fact that they have a new film that they are shopping around Hollywood at the moment. They've been very quiet since Speed Racer basically bombed at the box office drastically.
You know what?
Sorry?
Which one?
Speed Racer.
Oh, Speed Racer.
They've been very quiet since Speed Racer basically bombed. But they are now circulating a new script, which is going to bring them into territory they kind of covered in Bound a little bit, if you saw Bound. I don't know if you saw Bound, which was a fantastic film. Fantastic.
There was a story?
Yes, it was a story.
I didn't know
that. No, Bound really, really... really was intriguing. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it. Anyway, the point is that this one is now a drama that is going to focus on a hard R homosexual relationship between a U.S. soldier and an Iraqi in the Iraq War.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite what you expected from the Wachowskis.
No, to be honest, it's more just the fact that I'm going, what is this, the sequel to Brokeback Mountain?
Like, it's Brokeback Hurt Locker.
I actually think that they're going to work on a sequel, and it's going to be called Brokeback Assassin. That's going to be their follow-up to Ninja Assassins, which is quite possibly the worst movie ever conceived.
I actually can't
conceived.
Blame them for that, though, because that was the Teague McTeague production. Wasn't the...
I want to blame everyone for that film.
In fact, what I'd like to point out about that is I remember reading an article by James McTeague, who directed Ninja Assassin, also directed V for Vendetta. And he said in the article, this was before Ninja Assassin came out, he said that he was hoping that Ninja Assassin would actually get him out from under the shadow of the Wachowskis, because a lot of people say V for Vendetta was basically just the Wachowski brothers and he was just a figurehead director, which you can kind of feel, because it feels very, very much like a Wachowski film. So Ninja Assassin was supposed to be his big, and all I can think is, if that's you getting out from under the Wachowskis, get back under.
You know? All I want to say is to America, ninjas are Japanese.
Not Korean.
If you have a Korean K-pop star as your lead, you're missing the fucking point. I want a ninja is.
Anybody who watches the Colbert Report will know what I'm talking about when I say, RAIN!
I have to say that this the concept of this film does not interest me at all. And it's not because of the gay thing. It's because I am so done with these kind of films. These whole kind of like people in extreme circumstances finding love to get... No. Stop it.
Also, I'd like to point out that Wachowski brothers' strength as writers is not in their intimate drama.
Their strength is
big, broad concepts. And I just look at it and go, this is going to require lots of acting, and it's going to require lots of dialogue, and it's going to require lots of emotion, not things that they are really well known for.
Maybe it's all of the estrogen injections that Lana's been getting has warped the old Wachowski brain and has made it go, you know what, we need to do a drama that's like Twilight.
I don't know. I just it makes me wonder.
You're all about visuals and plot secondary. Let somebody else write the shit and you direct it and try and make it explode.
There was something interesting in this article, not this article, but another article I read though that kind of explains the Matrix a little bit. You know how a lot of people criticize the Matrix and its meandering storytelling over three films and everything. It was really interesting. It was actually Andy Wachowski, I think, actually said that what they are most interested in, so be prepared for this in any of their films, if their films ever feel kind of not finished, they are obsessed by the idea of serialized movies, because they said that they're huge comic book fans, and that's how comic books tell stories. And so they write all of their stuff with this kind of loose end, it's going to continue on in another issue. Because that's what they do, and that's what they love. So they've got this huge boner for serialized movies. So be prepared that the Wachowskis are going to come up with some pretty weird shit.
Can I just say something as a avid comic book collector and reader for 38 odd years? Bullshit. I'm sorry, some of the best, most brilliant comics I've ever read still bookend. And you can have an open ending, but you can still have it make sense and bookend. And that is just the major cop-out of, you know what, we're just going to half-ass everything that we do from now on, and this is our excuse.
Fair enough. And because you've used the word bullshit, which I love so much, and because we want to stretch our explicit tag as far as it can go, let's have a look at another trailer. This trailer, I had actually heard nothing about in the past, and it came to me and I looked at it and I went, this is the oddest thing I've ever seen. This is a new documentary coming out called The Winnebago Man, and I got to tell you, I want to see this documentary so bad, all right? Yeah. And you'll know why as soon as
is
you start
Morgan
watching it.
Is it Morgan Spurlock?
No, it's not Morgan Spurlock. Have a look. This is the new doco, Winnebago Man.
All right, here we go. The Winnebago Concepts and Engineering Departments have developed a multifunctional bathroom. Privacy, I don't know what the fuck I'm reading. I'm gonna slate this fucker. Fuck!
Fuck!
Fuck! Shit, you big dumb son of a...
I don't want any more bullshit from anyone. That includes me.
I love this clip. I watch it like every time I'm in a bad mood.
I've seen this like hundreds of times. This guy's a legend.
Can't fucking make my mind work.
Jack Rebney would be the holy grail of stars to meet from these videos.
We could never find him, so we just assumed he was gone.
You start to think, well, who is this guy? What happened to him?
That's weird. There's no property. There's no cars. There's no voter registration.
What does that mean?
You don't want anybody to really know who you are and what you're about.
This is Jack Rebney. It's inconceivable to me that you would have any interest in this, but if you want to talk, I'm interested.
Hello, I'm Jack Rebney. I'm known as the angriest man on earth.
Accoutrement that you will need. Accoutrement? What is that shit?
Jack has always wanted an audience.
I just don't think that you're taking advantage of this group of people that you can talk to.
I have no relationship with YouTube.
The only thing it will come to is...
Oh, this guy's been fucking crazy all his life.
I'll give you a couple of diatribes.
Action Jack.
How's your audio? Is everything all right there?
Security guard right there.
Call the police now. Get the Gestapo.
Want to talk about me?
Yeah.
I'm very old. I'm very crotchety. What else is new?
If you don't like it, pack up. Get the fuck out.
Here we go. Buckle up.
You believe any of that shit? Get out of here, you fucking flies.
I love that opening when he's going, Winnebago's got this new bathroom. What the fuck am I talking about?
Is it wrong for me to say that this is where I see myself in 25 years?
What, someone chasing you down and just like quoting you on the shit?
Yep, I'll just be like, hey, fuck off, what's this? What are you, Gestapo? Piss off everybody. I swear with you.
I thought he was brilliant. I can't wait to see that. I was watching it going, oh my God.
I just love the fact that he really is that angry.
I love the fact that in the first 30 seconds of that trailer, he has said fuck more often than I probably say in a week. Yeah. It's like, I just love that. Anyway, so yeah, that's the most obscure trailer I think we've ever played on this show. Mm. But we'll move on from that to a trailer that we talked about a couple weeks ago, the Machete, the illegal Machete trailer.
I think you mean Machete.
Machete. It was a fraud, by the way. It was a hoax.
Makes me so sad.
Well, no, the film is still going ahead. Now, what the story is that Ana Cool sat down with Robert Rodriguez to talk about something else, but they started to talk about the Machete trailer, and he said that it was about the Cinco de Mayo, and it was about all the race problems that Arizona was having at the time. He took footage from the original trailer that he made for Grindhouse and from the new film that he's working on and recut it to basically look like it was some sort of political statement about the whole Arizona. He said it was a joke. There is a film called Machete, but he says it's not about race at all. And he said that there is actually one more fake trailer for Machete, but he's not going to release it now because he says it's just confusing people. So a real trailer will show up for Machete at some point, but the trailer that was shown, that illegal one, is not the movie.
And I predict that everyone will want to see the movie that he released. The movie on the trailer that he released, as opposed to the actual film that gets released.
What will float your boat, though, Dave, is the fact that in the real film, Steven Seagal is the major bad guy.
Oh, I know that.
And apparently it goes culminate in a big fight between Machete and Steven Seagal.
As a practitioner of Zen martial arts and a lawman in Louisiana, boy.
Now, what the conversation for the Ain't It Cool news was all about, though, was the fact that you guys know Frank Frazetta, the artist who painted all those wonderful science fiction and fantasy covers of books and stuff, and he always drew the busty women and Conan and all that sort of stuff. He died recently, which is very sad. But Robert Rodriguez is a huge fan of a film that came out in the 80s. Now, I actually have a little bit of the trailer. We'll leave the mics open. I don't know what the volume's like on this thing. It's a film that Ralph Bakshi directed, which was the artwork was inspired by Frank Frazetta, and Frank Frazetta and Ralph Bakshi worked on it together. It's a film called Fire and Ice.
In an age of myth,
which is this film here.
The world trembles before the
I remember this.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's fantastic.
Master of evil, ruler of ice. A
against him. I love this bit in particular. Oh yeah. All right, we'll just drop the volume out on that while we talk. Now, the reason why this came up is that Robert Rodriguez has now bought the rights to Fire and Ice outright, and he is working closely with Ralph Bakshi, and he's going to bring a live-action version of Fire and Ice to the screen. And he actually said in the interview, which I thought was very interesting, he goes, when you control a project, he goes, this is not like all those other things that get announced and get dropped. He goes, this is like Sin City. He bought the rights. He's not at a studio's mercy. It's his project.
Hit prediction, Rose McGowan will be a lead character.
Oh, I don't doubt
I'm okay with that.
I think she'll be Tegra. No problem. I think she'll be Tegra.
I just said hit prediction.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Yeah. I have no problem with that.
There's nothing slapped on that.
Okay. Absolutely no problem with that whatsoever.
And then he needs to buy the rights to The Sword and the Sorcerer. And
oh, I want to see a remake of Sword and the Sorcerer. Albert Payoun. Step away.
Everybody needs a sword with three blades, that with shoot. Two of them that shoot, and then when you break the last blade, there's a dagger in the hilt.
I'm sorry. Look, Sword and the Sorcerer is camp 80s nonsense, but it's so much fun. Fuck it yes. really is. It's so much fun. Anyway, so live action Fire and Ice is coming. Robert Rodriguez is behind it. It is going to happen, according to Rodriguez. He is determined to make this happen. He was a huge fan of Frazetta. And apparently they were friends as well. So he really wants to bring this to life. And I think it would be really, really interesting to see what he does with it. So that was kind of the end of our film news.
Cool.
We're going to get into this review. We actually have one more trailer, but we're running really long. We might save it till next week, which was a new animated film. So we'll save that to next week. We are going to get into our feature review because, boy, we're running long today. All right. So the feature review for this week is the film The Losers. Which I even have a, I think I even have a little sidebar graphic for. Hey, there you go. Isn't that pretty? All right, so the feature film is The Losers, directed by Sylvain White. The film was written by Peter Berg, which I thought that was very interesting that it was written by Peter Berg, but he didn't direct it, which I thought was very intriguing.
Probably too busy doing Friday Night Lights.
And Battleship, the movie.
doesn't exist.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Peter Berg and James Vanderbilt, based on the Vertigo comic written by Andy Diggle, and drawn by Jock.
Mm.
What a name, Jock. Okay,
he wanted the least nerdy name that he could come up with. So,
the film stars Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Zoe Saldana, Chris Evans, Columbus Short. You pronounce his name for me.
Idris Alba.
Idris Alba, Oscar Jinada, I think it is, and Jason Patrick. Now, I didn't actually write my own plot synopsis for this one because, quite frankly, it was too confusing. So I looked up IMDb, and IMDb actually had the official Warner Brothers Pictures synopsis, which I thought was pretty cool. I thought you can't get any better than the official Warner Brothers Pictures when they say a tale of double cross and revenge.
You got to read it in movie guy voice.
A tale of double cross and revenge centered upon the members of an elite U.S. Special Forces unit sent into the Bolivian jungle on a search and destroy mission. The team, Clay, Jensen, Roke, Pooch, and Cougar, find themselves the target of a lethal betrayal instigated from the inside by a powerful enemy known only as Max. Presumed dead, the group makes plans to even the score when they're joined by the mysterious Aisha, a beautiful operative with her own agenda. Working together, they must remain deep undercover while tracking the heavily guarded Max, a ruthless man bent on embroiling the world in a new high-tech global war. All right, we have a trailer. Let's have a look at the trailer. This is.
I don't think it'll do as well as your intro.
I thought I did all right on that. What do you reckon?
That's great.
Let me have a look here. We dropped that picture out there. We're going to fire this trailer up. This is The Losers.
I sure hope he doesn't see us in this bright yellow banana.
Are you trying to say that you're embarrassed to be seen in an American classic? Then we wired.
Target is Westmount.
CIA. NSA. Special Forces.
Hit it.
We're not them. We're the losers.
Ladies.
But even the government's best.
We're in.
And the crowd goes wild.
Please!
Clay, we have a situation here.
Get betrayed.
This is Max. Change of plans. The losers know too much. Kill them.
Good times.
We're not soldiers anymore. We're fugitives.
Want your life back? You're gonna have to steal it.
Who are you?
I have a business proposition for you, Clay.
I can help you find Max.
What's the catch, lady?
It's pretty much a suicide mission.
That's not, like, foreboding at all.
Welcome back to the land of the living.
You know that if we do this, we are waging a war against the Central Intelligence Agency.
They started it.
Don't speak even whisper!
That's a badass chick.
She is volatile.
Oh, yes, you know what?
Oh, my God!
I'm the Black MacGyver. MacGyver!
I need an exit! Open fire! Shoot it down! Oh!
Are you sure you've done this before?
Okay, right now, not the time.
Mama didn't raise no fool.
Thank you.
Outstanding! I'm sorry I hit you in the face.
I'm sorry I threatened to cut your head off.
Don't you two feel so much better?
No.
All right. So that was The Losers. It's in cinemas right now. It opened on Thursday, and I'm going to let Dave start us off on this one because I think
Dave is the only one who liked
it. I think you liked it more than we did.
look, this is based on a comic book, as Jon Beardy said before. Look, I liked it, but everybody knows that I like, you know, shit B-grade action movies. I like the cast a lot more than I like what they actually did to the plot. Anyone who's actually read the comic book...
it's only the first seven, right?
Seven issues, which are the two, the Andy Diggle and Jock, who they were talking about, because it moves over to a different artist after that, and he's... He's decent, but he doesn't have that visual panache.
Yeah, I noticed on Andy Diggle the does. Wikipedia page, there's about seven artists listed. Yeah. So,
now, I mean, the basic concept is that it's a CIA black ops group who basically gets set up at the beginning. I just thought I'd do a brief. Get set up at the beginning, they're basically on the run from then on in. They've declared themselves dead, and they've gone into hiding. And it ends up becoming this whole cat and mouse game with some guy called Max, played by Jason Patrick. You've got Zoe Saldana, who comes in as the black hotness in it. And what they did in the comic, which they didn't do in the film, was the comic, they kept it very simple. It was just straight up revenge. That was it. There was no puppy dogs and bullshit and all the other crap that they've thrown in this. Whereas the beginning, their main motivation is they get set up, but... Sorry, we might as well just jump spoilers and whatever else, because there's no real massive spoilers.
Real storyline spoilers.
No.
Not storyline spoilers. But
okay, well,
spoilers.
Let's just say that there's an incident at the beginning that was just totally unnecessary that they've thrown in, which is meant to show... what's his name? Jeffrey Dean Morgan, to have a little bit of softness.
Oh, hold on.
To
are you talking about the kids?
Yeah.
We can talk about the kids. It's the beginning of the film. So,
you know, like, basically, they're meant to be in a chopper and they extract, I don't know, like 20 kids, and the chopper gets shot down, and they're all just like, oh, it was meant to be us.
Yeah,
and now we're going.
They were supposed to be dead, so they declared themselves dead from that point.
Now, none of that was necessary. It's not in the comic. And then there's also this little twist. Fuck it, I'm just saying it anyway. That Zoe Saldana is meant to be the daughter of a target that he's taken out at the beginning. None of that was in the comic. It just made the plot
messy.
And it didn't need to. The comic was beautiful because it was just smart ass group declared dead, war of revenge, that was it. And the character of Max too, you never saw him in the comic. It was just a mouth or whatever else he spoke, maybe 10 lines of dialogue. He wasn't Jason Patrick running around pretending to be a fat Val Kilmer
throughout the entire movie.
And I'm sorry, what has happened to his face?
Yeah.
He has aged very, very, very badly. This guy was a heartthrob in the 80s, in the Lost Boys days and stuff. And you look at him now and you just go, what the hell happened to you? You know?
Look, the plot was absolute crap. Now, and as I said, I like my films, but I like, you know, G.I. Joe type stuff, which the plot is nonsensical, but it still kind of maybe makes sense a little bit. Whereas this was just crap for the sake of being crap. I thought the chemistry between everyone was fantastic. The only main difference is that you have Idris Elba playing Roke, who's actually in the comic a white guy. So it's another one of those Hollywood things where they're like, yeah, we just need a bit more color in this, so we'll throw this guy in. I thought, and anyone who's seen him play Stringer Bell in The Wire will know the guy's an extremely talented actor. Look, in general, I thought the
dynamic between him and Jeffrey Dean Morgan was literally the only thing that kept me watching that film.
It was that Zoe Saldana's underpants kept me watching. And Chris Evans, there is nothing that that guy cannot do. I'm sorry, I know that you don't feel the same way, but every T-shirt that he wore, all the little comments that he made, and the fact that when he's doing that little shootout in the elevator and he's like, the government did weird stuff to me. I'm like a psychic soldier. They did anal stuff. Right. It's just, I don't know, the pacing and everything I thought was hilarious. As I said, look, it's not like a brilliant movie.
It's not brain surgery, put it
that way. No, it's just, it's like a perfect Saturday night with the fellas movie or a lazy Sunday movie. You just sit there, throw it on, turn your brain off and go, ooh, wow, explosions, and forget plot. It's like 1,000 times better than Transformers 2. Easily.
Anything is 1,000 times better than Transformers 2. Okay, Josh, take the counterpoint.
All right, well, look, obviously I didn't feel quite the same way. I find that the movie's plot line and ridiculous scenes really put me off the film a lot. The fight between Zoe Saldana and Jeffrey Dean Morgan was not only a complete waste of time, but also made no logical sense. It's like they walk into the room and literally she just holds a gun to him and he holds a gun to her, and then they're like, we need to talk. Bam, 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 and just start fighting. And then halfway through it, they stop and go, this is really stupid, and let's keep fighting. Whole building's on fire. Absolutely annoyed me. Like, I was angry during that scene. It was that illogical, the reason you would have that. Again, as he brought up before, the bad guy, Max, is just an idiot and just really offensive on screen.
Jason Patrick's just camping it up completely.
Yeah, it was camped up to a point where it didn't actually fit into the film. It's like someone that doesn't read comics is told to act, you know, really.
Well, the point I made
like,
today before the show was the fact that I felt no menace from either of the bad guys, from him
absolutely.
Or his henchmen.
And you see, that's the major difference with the comic. The comic, Max is just this overwhelmingly threatening character who he's like, you know, the Blofeld before you actually saw who he was in James Bond or any of the, you know, any classic villain where he was just, it would just be a couple of lines of rumbling intensity rather than the, oh, look, I'm going to shoot you in the head now. Oh, hello, winches, let's go. And, you know, all this sort of flippancy that he had was just really misplaced. As I said, I judge films on a broader scope than you guys do.
Yeah.
So none of these are really deal breakers for me, because I'll sit there and go, crap, crap, brain off. Ooh, explosion, pretty. Crap, crap, crap. Ooh, Zoe in underwear, you know, and that kind of sustains me through the film.
Let me throw in a couple of thoughts on here. I know Josh probably hasn't quite finished yet, but let me throw in a couple of thoughts here, because I think I'm going to cover a couple of Josh's points. I just felt that the film, I texted Josh when I finished watching it, I just went, it is what it is. You know, it's like you sit there and you watch it and go, I just felt that it was trying to be cool. And I'm actually really over films trying to be cool.
As a comic fan, that was actually why I was offended at the movie. It was like, it throws back to that kind of era where we had people that weren't into comics kind of being told to make comic films. Like
a good example, you look at Pulp Fiction, okay, which all these films are trying to be that kind of film, you know? And you look at Pulp Fiction, it was so effortless, it just did what it did. And the problem with this film is it tries to be cool all the way through it. All the ramping of the frame rates or the skipping of in the cutting, and you know, it's like they're trying so hard to do stuff to make it feel like it's hip, you know? And you go, you don't need to work that hard to be hip. You just need to get, you know, tell it as it is,
like,
and you'll be quite... I mean, films that have successfully done it. The Wrong Man, the Sleven.
Oh, Lucky Number Seven.
You know, that quite effortlessly
that was
is cool.
Brilliant,
you know? Man. And it doesn't rely on ramping the camera. The whole thing when they're having the fight and there's a slow motion with going in for the punches, all the fire slows down. You sit there and go, well, you watched The Matrix a few times last week, you know? It's like all the way through, you sit there and go, I don't need all of that.
If they would have done the tone of the film, if it would have been like Payback, of just brutal and taking and then let the moments of humor organically come through.
Actually, I'll tell you what,
that would have been a that was how the comic
it's
was.
It's funny you bring that up. The film Payback with Mel Gibson, which was awful. Okay. But if you watch the director's cut that has actually just been released on DVD here, yeah. I actually got it a year ago in the States. I actually got it 2 years ago in the States. But if you watch the director's cut, it's a far better film.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when you watch that film, that is the cool that it so effortlessly just kind of rolls itself through that this film can't seem to reach.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, they put too many... Sorry, no, we kind go, of cut go, off go, Josh, go, go. But they've gone into so many touchy-feely moments where they had the black guy trying to get back to his wife and his kid and all this other stuff. It was just like, none of that shit was there before.
I didn't need either of the false endings, which I won't go into, but I didn't need either of the endings.
You didn't need any of it. They could have just... this is my biggest gripe with it. And as I said, I'll still watch it. I'll still end up getting it on Blu-ray because, you know, I like shit movies. But I hate, and I agree with Josh, where I hate where they do it with a comic book film where they're like, we can change it and we can make it better. No, you can't and you don't. Stick to the fucking... Look, Sin City, anyone.
Yeah.
Well, page for page, panel for panel, recreation, huge movie.
Sometimes you have to make changes. Okay, Kick-Ass made changes and it worked. You know, and
perfect examples of the two.
Yeah, that's right. And Wanted, for lack of a better example, completely rewrote itself, but it didn't try to be the comic after that. It basically said, we're taking a basic concept and we're going to run in a different direction with it, and don't compare us to the comic
book. The only similarity between the Wanted movie and the comic book is the name and that people get killed in it.
Some of the office scenes in the opening, you know.
Interestingly enough, though, if you analyze the changes that they've made, the changes are actually where the flaws lie.
Yeah.
If Jeffrey Dean Morgan's character had actually just been a hard ass with no, you know, sort of loveliness to him, with no puppies, as you put it so brilliantly before, that scene might have actually been better in the room. A bit of dialogue needed changing. But if the guy was just a hard ass and didn't want any sort of information, didn't want help, didn't want, you know, sort of any of this sort of stuff, he may have actually come across a little bit more believable in that scene. But because he had that kind of, I don't actually want to hurt anyone, you know, like, I just want to do my own thing, kind of emo-ness to him, that whole scene falls apart because it's like, you don't want to hurt her, so why the fuck are you fighting her?
Well, Beardy brought it up when we were having a coffee this morning, and I thought it was a great point where he said the best part of the movie was the trailer, and it showcased the greatest scenes. And the thing was, going off the trailer...
It's a different
The trailer
film.
Is the comic book.
Yeah.
The trailer is exactly, even shot for shot, there are similar scenes exactly to the comic book, which is why I got so excited about this movie when it was first announced, and why I've taken it with such a grain of salt, because the parts that they've taken from the comic book, they have done surprisingly well. They all look the part, you know, they all act the part, they've all invoked the characters that they're meant to. It's just all the twaddle that they've surrounded it.
Maybe
that's a great phrase for this movie. It's twaddle.
Maybe I'll make the Dave director's cut of this movie and just cut out any touchy-feely bullshit in it and make it a 40-minute streamlined film of awesome, where it's just going to be boom, explosion, hard ass, dead, 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 credits.
Yeah.
And cut out Jason Patrick entirely.
Yeah, no, I thought that the actual... What really pisses me off is it's not the cast's fault at all, because there's some brilliant dialogue lines, Chris
and look,
Evans,
I thought Jeffrey Dean Morgan did a fantastic job in this one. I really like Jeffrey Dean
Between
Morgan.
Between those two, him and the Black Guy from The Wire, were just awesome. Like, the scenes where they would go off the edge at each other, and there was the scenes with them two fighting, and the scene in the back of the car where he's like, don't you guys feel better? It's like, no. We're awesome. The scene where they're lying on the ground later on in the movie and pretending to be dead, and they have a conversation lying on the ground, was really good and really well delivered. The problem is, as you said, it's the style and the direction that and the writing that really let this film down.
It is.
The film had a chance, which is why I think I'm more angry.
And this film needed to be sharper cut together, like the trailer. The trailer is really sharp. The timing is really good on it. And the problem is the film isn't. The film doesn't have very good timing. It kind of jumps around. It's trying to be so clever. It's trying to double cross this and double cross that. So by the end, you're expecting all the double crosses, and so none of that seems original anymore.
Which is, again, none of that came through in the comics, so that when there was the massive reveal of the traitor in the ranks, you were just like, oh, snap. You know, it was a massive betrayal, whereas in this, you're just like, yeah, and
waiting for it.
Yeah. I mean, look, I know that I'm kind of sitting in the middle of you guys. I mean, it's not to say I will be probably going home and watching this again tonight. You know, and I like these type of movies, but I've managed to find a way to turn my comic book guy off when I watch them, because after Wolverine and this and countless other movies that raped my childhood.
I don't remember.
It really comes down to a thing. When you're looking at a film, you have to be able to distance yourself from the source material, whether it be a book, whether it be a stage play, whether it be a comic book. You got to be able to say, take the film for what the film set out to do. Did The Losers achieve what it set out to do as a film? No. You know, did it set out? Did it work as an adaptation? Not really. No. So it kind of failed on both levels. That's not to say that I thought the film was awful. You know, I just kind of watched it and kind of went, it's just what it was, you know? And it's like if I had nothing better to do and I had a bucket of popcorn and a bottle of JD and there was nothing else on, I'd watch it.
How did you know what I'm doing today?
You know, and I would watch it. And I'd sit there and go, if I had the option of watching something else, I would probably watch something else. But, you know, it's not, I didn't find the film offensive. I found it completely non-offensive. In fact, I found it was kind of like, yeah, that was just a throwaway, you know?
I just want to see all the guys.
And Josh is sitting there shaking, going, you disagree.
Yeah, no.
I just want to see it all stripped away, and I just want to sit there and watch, the crew of them all just banter. And I just want to see Chris Evans stand there for hours in different T-shirts talking about hot dog stands and whatever.
Yeah, with the pink T-shirt.
Good casting, although I will say at this point that you talk about Zoe Saldana in her underwear, I actually can't get hot and bothered about it because she looks like a rake. I'm sorry, the girl needs to eat a steak, all right? You know, put some food, put some meat. A couple of steaks. I think one steak would make a difference at this point.
I was going to state the obvious and go, I have some meat for her.
Oh, dear. That's not the nourishing kind of steak, though.
Nourishing, all right.
Anyway,
the point is that she needs to eat something because the girl is getting thinner and thinner and thinner. And then, I tell you what, if she doesn't look after herself, she's going the way of Brittany Murphy. All right, so... You know, I'm serious. I'm not joking around here. I mean, Brittany Murphy died of anorexia. This is where she's heading. I could wrap my hand around her forearm. You know, it's terrible.
I would wrap my hands around other things, but yes.
So
if I was throwing down the hammer on this, I'm going to say, would I recommend this to a friend, Dave?
Yes, because most of my friends like watching shit action Zoe movies Saldana. And Zoe Saldana. So, I would say if you've got a boozy night with the fellas and you just want to throw something on, this is definitely one.
Also, can I just throw out one thing really quickly? I found the soundtrack incredibly annoying on this film as well. The use of songs, not the score, but the use of songs, I found them incredibly inappropriate at times. And you sit there going, I could have chosen five different songs that would have worked better in that situation. Yep. Whoever was their musical director on this really dropped the ball. Because it was like, and I will throw out there, though, the school bus at the beginning, driving and the explosions going off and the fires following the school bus, my wife burst out laughing.
I was pissing myself. I was like, why?
Yeah.
Why are you doing this?
My wife's reaction, my lovely wife, Katie, her reaction was she laughed at that and she goes, I'm going to bed. So there's her review.
I'd like to see how much the Peter Berg writing was changed along the way.
I'd like to have seen this film directed by Peter Berg, quite frankly. Because I think Welcome to the Jungle or The Rundown for the Americans was what this film was trying to be.
Genius!
Yeah, you know, I thought...
That is the greatest movie of all time.
I thought that was a great film, a lot of fun, and this film could have been like that. It failed.
I thought Welcome to the Jungle was really good fun. It's silly, but I mean, like...
got my tooth!
I mean, Dave knows, a film can be silly and I still enjoy it. I'm not that harsh on a film. If a film is legitimately funny and just ridiculous, then you can still enjoy it, right? I actually found this film incredibly offensive, I think, mainly because there were so many chances that it could have pulled out. It had a brilliant cast, it had a decent visual style that just needed to be reworked and used a little less, right? And so I found this film incredibly offensive, and no, I do not advise it to anyone.
Okay, so you're a yes to your friends who are boozing up on a Friday afternoon, and I'm going to say wait for DVD. I don't think it is definitely.
I don't think you need to rush out to see it.
This is when you go and you rent on Blockbuster or you find it on cable one night. You know, I don't think this is not a buy.
Look, if you're looking for finest comic book adaptations, then you know, go and see Kick-Ass or Sin City. If you're looking for something that, if G.I. Joe has been rented, then go and get The Losers.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Well,
if G.I. Joe is rented, go get The Losers. That's fantastic. But Dave, because of that, you deserve Megan Fox.
Megan Fox.
Dave has to leave the show right now. We need some special all right. time.
On that note, we're going to get ourselves out of here. We're running kind of long today. I do apologize. Now, before we go anywhere, we're going to just throw out a couple of little bits of
housekeeping.
First of all, we're going to talk about a couple of our fellow podcasters / bloggers who we do like a lot and support. First of all, we've got the Real Junkies over at WeekendRonan.com who put on a good show because they get drunk while they're doing it, which is always a lot of fun. I have been in talks with Fox, and it's not just Fox, by the way, when the other cast of Real Junkies, listen, you're all invited. We're trying to get them onto this show. So we're trying to Skype them all in. If we can get everybody in here, that'll be a lot of fun. We'll get them in on Skype and have a chat. We'll get the crossover show going. The other one, of course, that we want to talk about is the Movie Fan Cast. they are now officially calling themselves that. They were the Movie Fan House Podcast. They're now the Movie Fan Cast, which I disagree with, but anyway, that's their choice. But they can be found at moviefanhouse.com.
I have to say one thing. I've lost all respect for anything that they do for two reasons. One, because Jesse, one of their new cast members, has to ask his girlfriend before he does anything. That's the first thing. And the second thing is Brad and Charlie both assured me that Ninja Assassin was awesome.
Yes.
Anyone who's seen it will know this is not true.
Now, I'd like to point out, though, that Brad is no longer on the show. So,
really?
Yeah, Brad left.
We can discuss that more afterwards.
Ooh. Well, no, we can discuss it right now. Brad, very quickly, Brad Anderson is got so busy that he just really didn't have time to continue on with it. He is coming back for their anniversary shows and stuff like that. He's still involved because he's one
that
of the creators.
Makes me so sad.
But he Brad doesn't have time to do the weekly show. So the show is being run by Charlie and Jesse at the moment. So
what you're saying is accountants make lots of money. Brad is an accountant, for people who don't know.
Anyway, the other thing we want to talk about here very quickly is this one.
I've got goosebumps.
For our audio listeners, I brought up a slide for DLC Live. Who wants to explain, please?
I will do a quick explanation.
That's
RawDLC.com is the launch of the new website, which is basically the platform's gaming side of us. Now has its own website. There is plenty to check out over there. Please go over and look sometime this week. We have a couple of pieces up there that we would love some information on. We have an opinions piece for Red Dead. We want to know what everybody thought before we put up our review, which will obviously be there. This site is all about user content and what everybody thinks about things. So there's that, and there's also a very humorous post put up this morning about Street Fighter TV. And if you head over to the site, you can check out what that's about.
So. Just to let people know, just very, very quickly, sorry, on Beardison,
that's right,
to take up too much time. Josh and I will be running reviews in a very different style on the site. We won't actually be giving numbers or anything like that, very much like the show. We'll also be putting up second, third, and whoever else wants to chime in opinions on it and first looks and things like that. So, you know, it's not just going to be one voice coming through saying, this is what we thought of the game. It'll be kind of like one lead review and then everyone else's opinion. So if they disagreed or whatever else, just to show that, you know, we're not all jumping on the same bandwagon. We don't all like the same sort of games. Everything else. So keep your eyes peeled for my
and I'll just jump in here and say that Raw DLC is, of course, basically the culmination of the whole Platforms podcast thing that was started off. The Platforms fan page really isn't being serviced very much at the moment.
We've kind of I try and throw everything. I think I threw one post, which is like, check out DLC. put the link there. So, you know, we're happy for people to friend to like us, mm-hmm. whatever the vernacular.
But you'd rather they come to Raw DLC.
We would definitely prefer that. It's kind of like, I guess you could say, if you're on Facebook and you've got nothing better to do, then check out the fan page. But really, we're looking at kind of like an IGN, Kotaku, VG247
sort of thing. It's kind of an end of an era, isn't it? Because the fan page for Platforms is kind of becoming Raw DLC.
Platforms.
And the fan page for Geek actually is being eliminated and being turned back to our site. So it's kind of an end of a Facebook era, isn't it? Anyway.
I'm getting a bit weepy.
RawDLC.com for all your DLC Live information and that's where we put information about the Platformers podcast and all that sort of stuff. It's run by these guys here.
Just one other quick thing to service the very, very supportive people we have in our chat room right now.
Yep.
If you actually go to the Raw DLC site, there is a link for the Raw DLC crew, which is the forum side of our site. These are the guys that will be constantly commenting. They've been very good to us. They're part of our Friday Night Fights, everything like that.
And Saturday Night Smackdown.
And that's our new Saturday Night
Smackdown. In our chat room, that would be Snake Oz, Cyrus.
And Northy is in there as well.
Yeah, so go and check out their stuff as well if you're into games. They will tell you all about how to jump in and play with them.
Cool, so if you're into games, Raw DLC is the place to go. Now, we're also just to throw out our usual quick plugs for ourselves. This show can be found going out live every Saturday, 12 p.m. We do have an after show that is going to basically start about 10 minutes right after the recording of this one. For the audio listeners, that after show will hit the feed on Wednesday. This week's after show, Josh and I are going to go into some detail about the new Michael Caine film, Harry Brown,
which we
saw, and we will talk about. It's kind of like a bonus review for you this week because it was quite an affecting film. We have another show, of course, which is Platforms Podcast. That's our video gaming podcast that goes out live every Monday at 8 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time.
And it's a little bluer than this show.
And there's a much bigger chat room on that show, so come into that one live because it's a lot of fun. They're a video show first, an audio podcast second, whereas we are an audio podcast first and a video show second. Anyway, I think that's it. I think we've got everything. Dave, how can people find out more about you on the internet?
Well, you can find me occasionally if I decide ever to write something for www.rawdlc.com. You can friend me on Facebook because unlike Jon Beardison, I will be keeping my Facebook profile open to all you little scamps.
I will miss Facebook, by the way. I just want you all to know I will miss them, and I do hate.
We will miss you, Dave.
Not a decision that I am making.
I will miss seeing a beard upon many posts. I don't know what else to do. And also, has taken the extreme back burner is my blog, which may eventually be merged with DLC, but it is www.feeltheawesome@blogspot.com with a hyphen between each of those words.
Shane, how can people find out more about you on the internet?
Just type my
blog. Wait a minute. Ooh, shut up, Shane.
Go on, this guy.
There's no love.
There's so much love in her.
Love you, Shane.
On Facebook, Shane Robert Gregory.
Yeah, and also Shane is regularly contributing once or twice a week to DLC.
That's
well.
Right. If you also look for Nexus 81, more so than I have. Yeah, always look for Nexus 81. He also moderates our chat room on Monday nights as well. And Josh, how can people find out more about you?
All on sites, both of them. There is a review, which is very late, that I'm supposed to have put up about 3 days ago.
What?
Beardy's site.
Oh, that's right.
But that is almost finished and was supposed to be brought with me today and given to him, but I forgot about it. So there will be one coming up next week, and then, of course, all on the site, our site, Raw DLC.
Fair enough. And you can find out more about me by going to my personal site, davemcveigh.net, or go to geekactually.com because everything I do is basically at geekactually.com, and we also have that forum. The link is on the main page. You can go to the forum and you can get in touch with me through there. You can also follow me on Twitter, Twitter, that's right, twitter.com/DaveMcVeigh, or friend Dave McVeigh on Twitter, whatever. Yeah, I'm all lost now, we've gone way too long.
Or www.thepowerofthebeardcompelsyou.com.
All right, on that note, we're going to get out of here. Go see more movies. You don't see enough movies, and all of life's questions are answered in the movies, and we'll see you all next week. Thank you.